Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman, sitting in for Steve Curwood. It's been more than 3 months since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the federal government has the power to regulate global warming gases coming out of cars and trucks. So why isn't Washington doing what the court said? Critics charge the Bush administration is stuck in the slow lane. Living on Earth's Jeff Young reports.
Last November, Massachusetts Attorney General Tom Riley stood on the steps of the Supreme Court to explain why his state had sued the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Riley said global warming gases from autos were harming his state.
In a situation like that where a pollutant is causing harm to public health and public welfare, the EPA is obligated to deal with that. And that's all we're asking. That is all we're asking. Do your jobs. Do your jobs.
In April, the court issued what many called a historic 5-4 decision that the EPA had authority to regulate carbon dioxide coming from tailpipes. The justices essentially agreed with Riley. It was time for the administration to do its job. But what would that job be exactly? In a speech last month, President Bush had an answer.
And when the court says something, then the executive branch of government says, okay, you said it, now we'll listen. We'll do what you asked us to do. And so I directed the EPA and the Department of Transportation, Energy, and Agriculture to take the first steps toward regulations that would cut gasoline consumption and greenhouse gases. We're moving forward because the Supreme Court told us to move forward.
It still wasn't clear what action the president had in mind or when it would happen. It fell to EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson to fill in details.
My goal is to have a proposal on the street by the end of the year, with the president's commitment and goal to have that regulation then finalized by end of 2008. That's a very aggressive schedule, particularly for a regulation that's very complex.
That doesn't sound very aggressive to officials from states eager to act on global warming pollution. California Senator Barbara Boxer notes that the schedule Johnson describes means there would be no action until just weeks before Bush leaves office.
I find it rather amusing that nothing's really going to happen in his term if we follow that timeline. We're a little worried about that approach because California and many other states are just waiting to act.
California approved a measure to cut tailpipe emissions from new cars and trucks by 30% within a decade, and about a dozen states want to do the same. The Clean Air Act gives California special permission to make its own rules, stricter than federal law, and then other states with air pollution problems can adopt the California standard. But before any state can put those regulations into place, California must get permission, called a waiver, from the EPA. And the state has been waiting nearly 2 years. Boxer thinks the president is simply delaying any decision on the waiver.
We hope not, and I've had many conversations with the administrator of EPA. He's telling me he'll have an answer by the end of the year. We all think the answer ought to come in weeks, not months.
Now Boxer and fellow Democrats from California and Florida are pushing a bill that would force EPA Administrator Johnson to decide on the California waiver by October at the latest. Other members of Congress wonder why EPA isn't also looking at controlling carbon dioxide from sources other than vehicles. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey called Johnson before the new House Special Committee on Global Warming, setting up this tense exchange.
Just to put a fine point on this, if it's a danger, if CO2 is a danger coming from tailpipes, would it not also be a danger coming from utilities?
From a legal standpoint and under the terms under the Clean Air Act, that's one of the important questions that we're reviewing right now.
A rose is a rose. CO2 is CO2, Mr. Johnson. It's a not satisfactory answer.
And Johnson faces still other pressure. California Attorney General Jerry Brown told the Global Warming Committee that he'll take the EPA back to court if California is not allowed to proceed.
It looks like he is in total stall mode under orders of the president. If that's true, we will sue him. We're committed to every legal, political, activist initiative to get this job done. But, of course, they can stall. And ultimately, it's up to you. We need Congress to settle this problem.
And that may be where the Supreme Court's global warming decision ends up having its greatest effect, by prodding lawmakers to act. Sierra Club attorney David Bookbinder, who helped craft the climate change suit against EPA, says the decision is already having an effect on Capitol Hill.
The Supreme Court decision has clearly galvanized Congress into action. Congress is very well aware that unless they act, the administrative agencies, EPA and state agencies, will begin regulating CO2. So does Congress want to become irrelevant, or does it want to step up and create the comprehensive climate legislation?
So even though the Supreme Court's decision hasn't yet brought any real action on global warming, it has made the issue impossible for lawmakers to ignore. Congressional Democrats say they will take up a climate change bill this fall. For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Washington.